Quantum Health, accelerated healing from within, exploring complementary, natural, and alternative healing methods. Are hidden pathogens, stress, or energy blockages affecting your health and vitality? Achieve noticeable results. Reach optimum health and happiness with Diane Ellis. Just have to breathe. So when we remove the parasites, viruses and bacteria, the toxins and anything that's been causing any damage in our body, then we activate our body's own self-healing mechanisms. Our body has incredible self-healing powers. Welcome to Quantum Health Podcast number one. Joining me is Craig Bailey. Welcome, Craig.
Thanks, Di. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I've recently read your book. And I have noticed a lot of similarities with your journey and what's happening in the world today with this crisis going on. Is that why you've decided to try to get it out to the public?
Yeah, well, I guess since this lockdown has begun, it really feels like I'm saying to people, welcome to my world, because with all the chronic illness that I've had during my life, especially... Well, there's a few times over the years when I've really isolated myself due to health problems, and I'm quite accustomed to this type of living where I'm not doing a lot. And the thing that I mean, obviously no one wants to live that way every day where you're just spending a lot of time inside or isolated from other people. And I certainly didn't want to spend all those years feeling that way during my illnesses. And so I spent a lot of time and a lot of money for 10 years trialing many different remedies, treatments, mainstream, alternative, natural remedies, everything I could to try and regain health.
From what illnesses?
Well, quite a few. So as a child, I had asthma and allergies my whole childhood, and I was always very dependent on drugs and asthma drugs to keep me going every day. And then... when I was 19, I got chronic fatigue and all sorts of digestive problems and all the related sort of symptoms that come along with that. And that really lasted for 30 years. And then I had other underlying things happening that I didn't realise what they were. And then about 10 years ago, I got bitten by a lot of ticks, and they injected a lot of viruses, parasites and bacteria into my body. And I went to a lot of doctors, naturopaths, alternative practitioners for about 6 months, and I was only deteriorating until the point where I spent a week in hospital severely underweight. I could barely walk, sleep or eat, and in agony every single day, and I really felt like I was dying. And they discharged me after a week and said I had anxiety, and I thought, yes, I've definitely got anxiety because no one's working out what's wrong with me. But I knew that this had all happened virtually overnight since the tick bites. And thankfully, I found a naturopath who gave me liver cleansing herbal teas and literally saved my life. So now that I'm seeing what's happening with this illness, I realise that there's a lot of the methods that I've found that are very effective to not only to boost our own immune system, but there's a few that have actually been published, shown that they will kill coronavirus. So I thought it's important to get this information out there.
Okay, so what are the main methods, though, that you've used to get well? And sorry, you didn't mention the actual illnesses you had. So like chronic fatigue, is that what you mean?
Yeah, chronic fatigue, Lyme disease, asthma and allergies, because that's all gone now, digestive problems.
So chronic illness.
A lot of chronic illness, yeah, and a lot of my symptoms mimicked Lyme disease itself, and a lot of the co-infections actually mimic a lot of different diseases and illnesses, neurological diseases. At one stage I had symptoms of MS. I had a lot of tingling in my toes and hands, and that may have actually been connected to later on down the track. I started having some really bad spinal problems, and I used an ointment that eats away only cancerous cells, and it made such a big hole in my back I had to stop using it. And later on,
to had cancer?
Well, I don't know if I actually, I should say I was being treated for cancer and thermal imaging confirmed abnormalities through my spine, a lot of areas in my back, both breasts. And I was told that, yes, it basically looks identical to cancer. It was behaving like cancer. But because I chose not to have a biopsy, I can't say that it was definitely cancer. But, yeah, it certainly seems as though it was. Yeah.
And how are you now?
I'm really good. I'm not quite 100%, but I don't have any allergies or asthma anymore. All the food allergies that I had for years, and especially they were really bad around the line when I got bitten by the ticks, and I started being extremely sensitive to everything that I breathed in or touched, or even having blood tests, the alcohol swabs on my arms, I would feel a reaction, my heart would beat really fast, and this same sort of reaction that I would have if I ate foods that didn't seem to agree with me, and it ended up being nearly everything I was allergic to. But yeah, that's all gone, and yeah, pretty much I'm clear of pretty much most of all of my symptoms. Just my spine's not quite 100% yet, but I'm so much better now. I can lift, you know, most things. I can, yeah, lift heavy things, do a lot of gardening and shoveling and things that I wasn't doing for about 4 or 5 years because it gave me too much pain and in my back and tingling in my feet.
So how come Lyme disease isn't recognised in Australia?
That's a good question. So I went to the Senate inquiry hearings in Brisbane and Sydney. It was in 2016, and there was a lot of evidence. There were some fantastic MPs, some politicians that were really barracking for us, and there was professionals from Australia and internationally, doctors and scientists, researchers who gave evidence, and the outcome of the hearing was tabled in Parliament. And the recommendations basically said that all doctors in Australia should be notified of the risks of tick-borne illness, how to diagnose and to treat these conditions. And what was really disappointing and really quite, I couldn't understand what was happening, but 2 weeks later I was at a suicide prevention meeting with all the health departments and organisations, a lot of doctors and heads of health departments and hospitals, and I was informed that they had been informed that most doctors in Australia had received a notification from the health department saying that, or from one of the medical authorities saying that there is no Lyme disease in Australia. And so rather than acknowledging that there was a problem, as was tabled in Parliament, the medical authorities actually did the opposite. So it was really disappointing. A lot of people who, I mean, I've spoken to thousands of people over the years who've really struggled with their health. They're going to doctors and specialists and they're not getting any answers. They're not getting any treatment to help them improve. And so it was really devastating.
So all these people with chronic fatigue could have Lyme disease?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a doctor in Perth who he had probably still has a chronic fatigue clinic, and he was treating people and helping them. I'm not sure what his protocols were, but one of his patients was tested for Lyme disease and came, I'm not sure if they got an independent test or what, but came and showed the doctor the results, and he then went and tested all of his patients for Lyme. And I think he had 90 or even a higher percentage of those chronic fatigue patients came back with positive tests for Lyme disease. And this was not the government tests or the, you know, the Medicare tests. These were independent tests that were going with international standards. Unfortunately, it seems what came out in the Senate inquiry, and it made a couple of the senators quite cranky, that the testing is actually below standard, below the international standard. So, yeah, there's actually also Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, motor neuron, multiple sclerosis, autism, mental health disorders, they've all been linked to conditions such as Lyme disease. And it might not be just the Lyme, because there's a lot of other co-infections that come, like when they talk about this this coronavirus now that's such a big risk. They talk about, you know, the zoonotic diseases, which are from animals to humans. And so getting a tick bite, you're getting a direct injection of possibly blood that's come from any sort of other animal in, you know, in our existence, whether it's bats, birds, mammals, reptiles. I've seen snakes and lizards with lots of ticks in them. So anyone that gets bitten by a tick, that tick could have been on any animal at all, and passing the blood and the viruses, parasites and bacteria from that animal to the person. So this is a really under-investigated issue that really needs to be addressed.
So it's more tick-borne illness. It doesn't have to even be Lyme.
No, not at all. No, there's lots and lots of co-infections or lots of different infections altogether. I know people that have gone for testing for Lyme disease, that it's come back positive for chlamydia and myxomatosis and all sorts of weird things.
Why was the Senate inquiry just about Lyme? Why couldn't it just be tick-borne illness?
Well, it was about that as well. It actually did address tick-borne illness. But as most people recognise tick-borne illness to be Lyme disease, because that has been what's most recognisable, what's been in the media. So there was a suggestion to just call it tick-borne illness, but most people really recognise what Lyme is and what it does now, and then there's all the other infections that come along with that.
So with those autoimmune diseases, for instance, the tick, the bacteria from the tick gets into the person's brain.
Well, it'll be injected into their body wherever the tick bite is. There, it'll go through the bloodstream. It'll multiply and multiply, and it can go to every single cell of the body, any part of the body whatsoever. It can go to the brain, the heart, the organs, the muscles, the nervous system. And depending on where that bacteria, virus or parasite goes, depends on the different symptoms that people have. So that explains why one person might end up with Parkinson's, one might end up with multiple sclerosis, because if it goes into the brain, it might have more of the sort of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's type of symptoms. If it goes into the nervous system and the muscles, it might have the more multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia type of symptoms. And really, depending on the person, it just depends where the weakness is in their body, where they're more vulnerable to those pathogens.
So it's a bit like the coronavirus in that regard. If they're weak in their body.
Definitely. If you're more susceptible, if your immune system's damaged, and as we're seeing that there's a lot of elderly people especially who are affected by the coronavirus, and so they're more vulnerable. Yeah, absolutely. I think there's a lot of people who have actually shown to be positive for Lyme disease, but they have no symptoms. And that's because their immune system's working well and keeping it at bay. It's the same as we can be exposed to really bad superbugs like staph and strep and all those types of things. If our immune system's working well, and a lot of those bugs are actually on our skin anyway. So if our immune system's working well, they're not going to affect us. Our white blood cells and all the immune responses in our body will just attack them and kill them and get rid of it. But for those few, the 5% that they say are affected by the coronavirus, they're the ones whose immune system isn't withstanding what's going on.
So is that why you've released your other book, the e-book, that is like your protocol from your original book to help people boost their immune systems?
Well, my first book, Quantum Health, My Journey Back from Lyme Cancer and Chronic Illness, is exactly that. It's a detailed story about my journey, because I've had so many aspects to my healing, the physical, mental, emotional and spiritual. I've detailed my whole story, and at the end I put summary of all the different healing methods that I've used. And then when this coronavirus seemed to be so bad, I thought, wow, this might be really helpful for people, all the detailed information that I've researched and trialed for 10 years. And so I took all of the summary of the health information from my first book and created a second book. And I also used some of the information from many of the doctors that have really, or and other practitioners that have really helped me dramatically over the years. Some of the treatments and remedies that have had a really profound effect on my health to kill pathogens and to supercharge my own immune system. So I've gathered that information, and also some of the, sorry, that's specifically around coronavirus and COVID-19. And also there's Dr. Dietrich Klinghart, who he's been treating the illness for three or more months. He's got doctors, hospitals and intensive care units around the world using his protocol, and he's helped thousands and thousands of people with tick-borne illness over the years. And so I've included some of the information, some summaries that he's provided, and links to his work as well.
So you're saying that all these remedies for tick-borne illnesses will be just as good for these viruses?
It seems that way. Dr. Klinghart and another doctor, Dr. Richard Horowitz, they're very specialised Lyme doctors, and they have found that a lot of the Lyme treatments are working well for people that are coming up with this COVID-19, so it does seem to be working well.
What are these treatments then?
Well, there is the what Dr. Klinghart talks about. He's been using hydroxychloroquine, azithromycin and zinc. Of course, I'm not a medical professional, so I don't recommend any of those things, but I'm certainly happy to share information that he talks about. And there is a published study now showing that this basically is a cure, what Dr. Klinghart says, and that's the protocol that he's got doctors all around the world using, and there's reports of 7,000-plus patients. And then there's some oxidative therapies that I've used that... there's reports of doctors in Berlin using them, and other reports of patients that have used them. But, yeah, as I say, I don't give any medical recommendations. I purely share what's been helpful for me, and then people can look into that and follow the doctors or practitioners who are giving recommendations or protocols to see whether it might be suitable for them. But also the particularly boosting the immune system, they're probably the better ones that I can say, look, you know, these are really worth giving a try, because it's not actually treating anything. It's just boosting your own immune system, things that you can do that are really helpful, like, well, even liver cleansing herbal teas. Once you've got your liver cleansed and it's functioning properly, it will filter viruses, parasites and bacteria from the bloodstream. And when I was extremely sick, that's what was going on. My liver just wasn't working properly, and all those toxins were just going back into the bloodstream instead of being filtered out of my body.
So what teas are they?
Well, the one I had was alfalfa leaf tea, but there's a lot of others as well. Dandelion, marshmallow, and there's also kidney cleansing herbs. But you can easily go to a herbal dispensary or a herbalist, naturopath, and they can recommend anything.
I've been reading a lot about alkalizing the body.
Mm.
Does that have anything to do with?
Oh, I've had huge benefit from bicarb soda, and also hydrogen water is meant to be really good. When I was still having a lot of symptoms from the Lyme, and also my back was really bad, I'd had the thermal imaging, which confirmed a lot of the problems that I was having. And I was, for 6 months, I took only bicarb soda because it gave me so much relief and made me feel so much better. And 6 months later, I had more thermal imaging, and it showed some areas the same, some improved and some completely resolved. And so the way it works is it raises the pH, or the alkalinity of the body, and basically pathogens can't survive in an alkaline environment.
So you can clean your carpet and then drink bicarb.
I guess you can. But you want to really get some from the health food shop, which is a good standard, yeah, good high-level bicarb.
And is that, you put it on topically too, don't you?
I followed a protocol where I was having one teaspoon four times a day away from meals. And that was really helpful. And then I also was using it in a spray, like diluted in a spray bottle or just in a glass, and then I'd rub it all over my body, and it was really, it made a lot of fibromyalgia type symptoms almost disappear immediately. It was a huge relief.
So people talk about oxidative stress. It seems to be the new word around the traps. What has that got to do with all your stuff?
Well, it really is the new, it's not new, but there was a Dr. Joe McCord who, I think it was in the 70s or 80s, he found oxidative stress to be one of the, to cause the beginning state of virtually all disease and illness in the body, because that oxidative stress, if it's not being removed from the body, it will damage cells, and those damaged cells replicate damaged, and then we end up with damaged organs and cells in the body. And so what's really interesting is that when I got really sick when I was 19, chronic fatigue never really left. I had to put up with it up and down for 30 years. So I would go and do things, you know, at first it was really bad and I was bedridden for months, but then I got better to the point where I could go and do something on the weekends, go horse riding or surfing, but I'd spend a week or two recovering and feeling like I was hit by a bus. And then when I used NRF2 about 2 years ago, all of the chronic fatigue disappeared. I couldn't believe it. And what the NRF2 does is it activates our body's own antioxidants. And it's just a herbal supplement or tablet. It's not really a supplement, it's an activator. But Dr. McCord, he thought once he found the effect that oxidative stress has in the body, he thought that if he could find something to activate our body's own antioxidants, it would have a very powerful healing effect.
Isn't that vitamin C though?
Well, vitamin C will remove one free radical or bit of oxidative stress, whereas our own antioxidants will remove 1 million free radicals. And so it's just giving a much more powerful effect in the body. Okay. And so, I mean, I'm no expert on all this stuff, but when I had put up with chronic fatigue up and down like a roller coaster for 30 years, and then it took my friend 3 months to talk me into trying it, because I thought it was just another tablet like all the others that I'd taken. And within, well, from the day that I took it, all the chronic fatigue stopped, and it's been 2 years. It was incredible. Yeah.
Nice. And what other types of remedies and treatments have you done?
Oh gosh, where do I start? Pretty much everything that at the time the doctors could give me, but you know, that was quite limited back then.
So drugs didn't work?
Well, I was given one dose of antibiotics when I got the tick bites, and then when I was in hospital I was given another dose of antibiotics and it didn't really do anything.
But that's good for Lyme and
isn't it? They say that, like, if you're treated with like a 6 week course of antibiotics within the first couple of months, you might get on top of it and be fine. If you're not treated within that time frame, the bacteria or all the pathogens can multiply until then. You might need possibly even a year or two of antibiotics, some people go on. So, and by the time I started to realize, yes, I definitely had Lyme disease, I'd already improved using some of the natural therapies, so I didn't want to do any of those really harsh sort of medical treatments that had definitely had side effects. And so, it was a huge exploration where I did try every medical, herbal, natural remedy that all the holistic practitioners could give me. I saw a molecular biologist who was a herbalist, nutritionalist, and homeopath. But then I also explored other different things like the stabilized oxygen. I was given a lot of essential oils, which were really helpful. Even peppermint oil down my spine gave me huge relief with the pain in my back and the muscular cramping. That was really helpful. homeopathic silvicillin. Silvicillin is the colloidal silver that helped to kill pathogens. That was definitely beneficial. I did try some pharmaceutical parasite medication for a while, mebendazole and pyrantel, which I think was probably helpful. That can be good and recommended for larger parasites, which a lot of tick bites can give people.
That's for worms, isn't it?
Yeah, it's basically a worming medication. It's in a lot of the kids' sort of chocolates and worming chocolates that people are given. Yeah.
If everyone's got parasites in them.
Well, it seems that way, and it's just if your immune system keeps it at bay. But if, yeah, again, if you...
So it'd be worth worming every kid.
Oh, absolutely. It is good to try and use the natural remedies as much as possible, but with kids that have got some severe health problems or persistent sort of problems, I have followed Kerry Rivera's protocol, which it is an autism protocol, but a lot of people use it for a lot of different diseases and illnesses, and she says that it is hard to get rid of the large tapeworms, which can be very, very big and... Yeah, and it's good to use the pharmaceuticals for that. So and I must say that I commend all doctors and nurses for the wonderful work that they do, and especially in acute and emergency situations. So even though I do prefer to use natural remedies, I think there's definitely a really great need and a place for medical and pharmaceutical drugs when needed.
Okay, so what is that? Some other treatments you've had?
I bought myself an ozonator once. That was helpful, but I had quite bad Herx reactions from that when the pathogens in your body die off. Yeah, that can create a bad reaction, and I found that was just a bit too hard on my system. There was also, yeah, Dr. Clark Zapper. That's like a bioresonance device, and it sends frequencies through the body to kill pathogens. My daughter had huge improvement in her learning disorders, her energy. She was having little mini seizures, and that all stopped. Her schoolwork took off. Her energy really increased, and she ended up winning an Aussie title for longboard surfing, a junior title. And she got up to she went from a special maths class to about 80% in the normal maths class. So it was pretty incredible. And that was very distinctly from the time when we did the zapping and killed the pathogens. And then from there, later on, there was a notice put out about this amp coil, which is a bioresonance device, but it's also got a modified Tesla coil, which gives off a pulsed electromagnetic field. And it gives your body the optimum frequencies that they would it would normally vibrate at when you are well. And it was really... profound. I had a massive improvement in my health when we got one of those. And so there's all sorts of weird and wonderful things that I've used, and I detail in both of my books exactly how they've worked, the theory and the scientific evidence behind them, and what I've found the most beneficial. And having spoken to thousands of people over the years in person and on different support groups, and I share what's really helped a lot of people, not just myself.
So these things you've used that emit frequencies, are you saying these frequencies kill bacteria and parasites?
Well, what Dr. Clark used to do, I found her protocol quite early on, thank goodness, because that helped a lot, especially with my daughter. But she did a lot of work on the underlying viruses, parasites and bacteria that are linked to nearly every disease and illness. And what she found is that she could monitor, and there's also Rife and another, there's quite a few others that have worked with these frequencies, and they've found that they could monitor the frequency of every living thing, and they could find out what the specific frequency for instance, tapeworm or pinworm or the herpes virus or... all the different sorts of viruses and bacteria, and they would invert that frequency and give it back to the body, and it would basically cancel out the pathogen's life force. But then also Dr. Clark was experimenting to make a handheld device that she could take places. And I think it was her son was working with her to try and create this device. And what they found was that the using a 9-volt battery, anything but any frequency between 5 and 10 hertz pretty much wiped out most parasites, viruses and bacteria. And so then her new little handheld homemade device was created, was run on a 9-volt battery, and that's what I used for my daughter that had huge success. But they've developed it scientifically now to incredible lengths, and it's quite incredible the science behind it all now.
Okay, so apart from these devices and herbs and things what about all the mind-body techniques you've used?
Actually, there's one other thing I haven't mentioned that was really profound as well. I've had quite a few profound things, but there's a handful of them that are really significant. There was also redox signaling molecules. There's a doctor, Gary Samuelson, and he's an atomic medical physicist, and so there's a lot of research. There's hundreds and hundreds, I think even thousands of scientific peer-reviewed studies about redox signaling molecules. So there's signals sent from our cells to other cells telling them what to do, so to kill pathogens, to repair, and all this sort of thing. And so there's been all these studies and research done on these molecules, and it was sort of believed that we'd never be able to replicate them. But Dr. Gary Samuelson was able to do so, and he's used a saltwater solution. There's something that they do to the salt water, and knowing that our blood, saline solution, is the closest thing to our blood. And so they've been able to replicate these redox signaling molecules. And a friend of mine, she's had cancer, and her naturopath was giving her these redox signaling molecules, and she had massive improvement. And there was actually some testing done on 5 people with different types of cancers for what type of treatment would work best for those cancers, whether it was chemo, whether it was a different sort of natural remedy or treatment. And every one of these 5 different cancer patients, it came back with the redox signaling molecules as the most effective treatment for those types of cancers. And so, of course, I'm not suggesting that this is a treatment or cure for cancer, but this is just what I've been told from these tests that were done for the redox signaling molecules. And when I began using the gel down my spine, I had really big improvements, and I started to be able to lift things and do more, and actually mowed the lawn for the first time in quite a few years. So I noticed really profound effects, with the redox signaling molecules.
So there are options for cancer patients if they don't want to?
Well, I think there's options for everybody, because the more we can repair our own immune system, and that's pretty much what a lot of what I share is doing. It's not treating a disease or illness. It's basically repairing your own self-healing mechanisms. And when we can do that, our body can heal itself. So when we remove the parasites, viruses and bacteria, the toxins, and anything that's been causing any damage in our body, then we activate our body's own self-healing mechanisms. Our body has incredible self-healing powers. But talking about self-healing powers, you asked me, sorry I cut you off before, about the mind-body healing techniques. So I first sort of got into, I remember getting into meditation in my early 20s and found that was nice and relaxing. You could go on these trippy little journeys and what have you with guided meditations, which I enjoyed. But it was when I was about 26, 27, 28, when I'd had my first daughter, that activated some deep trauma within me. Memories and feelings around losing. I was adopted at birth, and my adopted mother died when I was 3.5. And then my stepmother, my dad remarried when I was about 5. She had mental health problems. She was what was diagnosed at the time was manic depression. And every few years she was in and out of hospital having shock treatment. When she was at home, she was a really good mom and looked after our needs well, so I didn't really notice how bad her mental health was. But the going into the hospital and seeing them all walking around was like zombies was really traumatic on me. It really had a big effect, and the fact that I'd lost my other two mothers as well. And so when I had my first daughter, just being a mother really triggered off all those things, and I was doing a lot of counselling, and I knew I had some really deep grief that I needed to deal with. And so I asked my counsellor if she knew someone that could help me further, and she sent me to a lady who did a lot of breath work. And it was incredible, the experiences that I had, that I was able to access, and it was very gentle. I was very lucky. I had a practitioner that just gently allowed me to just feel whatever I was feeling, and if I had any anger or hurt, or she helped me to feel and allow feelings that I didn't want to feel. And then as I released any anger or hurt, then I would often have this spontaneous, incredible love come up, and I ended up connecting with this, the deepest feelings of love that I'd never really felt before. And then when, so then, I don't know, 13 years later, when I got the tick bites and I was told it was just anxiety, I thought, hang on a minute, I've dealt with a lot of anxiety before. Actually, what actually triggered off the some of the counselling and the breath work was a neighbour who threatened our lives and was letting off gunshots in the middle of the night and killed one of our foals. And it was a lot of harassment. It was pretty terrifying being in the bush in Tasmania when we had a neighbour doing all these awful things and harassing a lot of the neighbours as well. Anyway, so when I got all the tick bites, I thought, hang on a minute, this isn't anxiety. I've really had a hell of a lot of anxiety in the past. And I spent years, I spent about 3.5 years doing intensive therapy, learning how to deal with the trauma and grief that I'd experienced and the PTSD, and it really worked well. So I knew that anxiety wasn't causing my physical symptoms when I got the tick bites. And then I, even though I couldn't get any treatment for about 4 years, I was just kept doing liver cleansing because that's all the thing that was helping me. I was doing all these mind-body healing therapies, trying to sort of find out within myself what could there be that's causing my body or my own immune system not to be working properly. Because I thought, I knew deep down that I had these pathogens from the tick bites, but I also knew that I had the power within me to heal myself. And I was listening, I started listening to people like Bruce Lipton and Nita Morjani. She died from end-stage cancer and had this incredible near-death experience, but then came back. And Eben Alexander, he too had a near-death experience. And I thought, there's people having these incredible healing experiences. Why can't I do that? So I was exploring it, and I found these deep connections to parts of myself that didn't really want to be alive. So there was bizarre things of when I was in the womb, these feelings of fear and things that happened that I realize now that there could possibly have been, as bizarre as it sounds, there could have been a subconscious thought or belief that I didn't want to be in this world. And so I know it sounds, it's a bit hard to explain.
So but it was what your mother was thinking, right?
Well, I actually realise now that, yes, my mother was 17 when she fell pregnant with me and 18 when she had me. Her father was a deacon of the church, and, of course, it was all very shameful. And there's no doubt she wouldn't have wanted me. And I think from that there was a subconscious thought or belief within me that I just shouldn't be here. And I was able to access these feelings during some of the deep mind-body healing therapies that I did, and I was able to transform them and release them. And then spontaneously a practitioner or a treatment or a remedy would come into my life. And this happened so often that I actually used the mind-body healing therapies to instigate another step in my healing process on the physical level. I was hoping that I would just miraculously get better, but for me, it always seemed to be that a practitioner or a treatment would just turn up and it would work well.
So is this breath work you're talking about? Like, how do you do it? How do people do it?
Well, yeah, breath work is a part of it. Genome healing and Psyche K. They're the three that I've really found to be very profound. There's also the tapping, which I found good. But breath work, just a simple example, is in my original breath work sessions, they would go for about an hour and a half. But now I almost do it in a few minutes. So basically, when with any symptoms that you're feeling, whether it's a physical illness or an emotional trauma, if you think about the problem just for a moment, connect in as deeply as you can with that feeling, whether it's an emotional feeling or a physical feeling. So just connect in with your own body for a moment very deeply and feel where you feel those feelings. So it could be a pain in the knee. It could be, if it's an emotional upset, it could be a tightness in your chest or around your neck or your throat. Wherever the feeling is in the body, just notice where it is, and then you bring all your awareness to those feelings in the body. And no more thoughts about the story or what happened or what might happen, just focusing on the body and the breath. Nice, full, relaxed breaths into the belly, and just be aware of the energy and the feelings in your body. And as we allow that, you just keep on focusing on your body and your breath, totally relax. The sensations may get stronger or they may be weaker. They may move to different areas of the body. There could be tingling, hot, cold, any sort of feeling in the body. You're just watching it as if you're an observer, but you're also fully in that feeling as well, just allowing the energy to move in the body. We're basically connecting in to where there's an energetic charge held in the cells in the body, or an energetic cellular memory held in the body, and we're allowing that to release and the energy that is held in the cells to move. And that can be a really, really profound step in healing.
Yeah, right. And that's just breath work.
That's just a simple breath work technique where you're just awareness on the body and the breath. And then there's Psyche K, which is fantastic. Bruce Lipton told me about that. Basically, there's some simple techniques where we can change our subconscious thoughts and beliefs. We can do some muscle testing and we can see, say, for example, I love myself. And then your muscle test, and if it's weak, a weak muscle response, that's a something that we don't actually believe in our subconscious mind.
Muscle test.
Yeah. So you can do it yourself, or you can get someone with you where you may hold your arm out, and then I would say to you, get you to say, I love myself, and then I would muscle test you, and if you are weak to that, then you don't actually believe it.
But some chiropractors do that, I think.
Yeah, there's quite a few practitioners, kinesiologists, that's a lot of what they do, and there's a lot of practitioners that can use those techniques, yeah.
And this genome healing that you talk about in your book as well, do you want to explain that?
Yes, that was so profound when I found the genome healing. So basically you can tune in to the energy, the masculine and feminine energy of the organs or any system, any part of the body. And you can, so the sperm and the egg come together to create our first cell. That divides and divides until we have every cell, every organ, every system in our body. And so the genetic memory from our parents can be carried down through the sperm and the egg. And we can hold that genetic memory in any part of our body, any organ. Also, any memories from any time in our lives or even in the womb can be held in our organs or any part of our body. So when we tune in to the feminine and the masculine energy of any system in our body, we can connect in with the feelings that are being held and we can transform them. And it's incredible. It's like if you think about something that upsets you, you can usually notice straight away when you have tension in your body from that upset. Well, it's the same with our organs and every system in our body. And when we release those emotional or genetic memories, it's incredible the healing process that can happen. And one of the most profound things that happened to me was I said to my trainer that she said if anyone has any problems with anything, would like to work on anything in particular, to let her know. And I'd done so much work on many areas and I was feeling quite at peace with most of my life, but I'd been single for probably 13 years and I said to her that I would really like to do a relationship balance around my birth father because I'd never met him and I felt like it was having an effect on my on not being able to have a relationship. And so we did a healing process, the relationship balance, and it was really profound at the time. It was quite incredible. And it was very, it felt a huge relief during that process and a very healing process. But what was really profound is that within a short time later, a couple of months later, I met an incredible, wonderful man. And who, and what was really amazing was the synchronicities, that the fact that there were names, places, times and dates that were just so incredible. There's no way I could have orchestrated that. And what one thing that was really profound, I'd had all this very deep grief related to mothers in my life, and his mum had actually adopted out a girl around my age and was from the same city in a different country, and the incredible synchronicities were just amazing, and she's like my spiritual mother. Yeah, so the genome healing was quite profound, as you know.
Lovely. It's just lovely. Okay, so I think genome healing is a whole nother podcast.
Yes, it is, yeah.
I guess the one thing with people who are going through what they're going through now is what can you give them?
Yeah.
Like, because all you've talked about, what can they do to improve their immune system and do any breath work or have alfalfa tea? What's a daily ritual?
Oh, okay. So the daily ritual. Okay, so some of the daily things that I've done, and I must say I'm not a health professional and I don't give medical advice. These are just some of the things that really helped me dramatically when I was really unwell. Very simple things that you can do for yourself. And I definitely say go and see a health professional, a naturopath or a holistic doctor, biomedical doctor. They're fantastic at these types of things. But things like the liver cleansing herbal teas liver and kidney cleansing herbal teas, they're really simple and can have a very profound effect on our health. Like the doctor's recommending at the moment, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc, and there's some really good herbal tinctures like licorice, andrographis, I think it is, dandelion. They're really good herbs for prevention. And if you were to get coronavirus, Dr. Klinghart talks about those herbs. But I'm sure there's a lot of, go to a health food store or a naturopath and they'll be able to advise you about that sort of thing. And then there's the thing like simple bicarb soda. You can buy pH test strips, and if you're not 7.4, which is ideal, if you're anything below that, you're too acidic. You can get the test strips from pharmacies or online, and you test your saliva first thing in the morning before eating or drinking. And some people prefer hydrogen water, which is reported to really alkalize the body well. There's some tablets, I believe, now that you can put in a glass of water and then drink that, and that's supposed to work really well. The immune therapies that I've talked about before, so there's things like the GC-MAF. You can make it yourself using yogurt or milk kefir, the fermented milks, and colostrum. That's a really good immune booster. Then there's the NRF2 and the redox signaling molecules. They're easy to take each day to really supercharge the immune system. Eating really well, I found that cutting out grains was really helpful. There might be some people say that it's not so good, but I noticed when I cut grains out, I had a really dramatic improvement in my health, and just eating whole foods. So your lots of veggies, a little bit of fruit, meat, fish, eggs, some vegans or vegetarians might like to, you know, have alternatives. I found that I couldn't go very well. I did try being vegetarian and vegan for a while, but I found that very difficult and my health wasn't that great. Yeah, a little bit of exercise. You don't want to overdo it and leave your body at a weaker state. And then maybe once a day, either in the mornings, evenings, when it's some quiet time, if you just sit down and really tune in, do some relaxation and maybe a bit of the breathwork exercise that I mentioned earlier, where you just take that little bit of time to really tune in to see how you're feeling within yourself, both in your physical body and also emotionally, mentally, and just taking that little bit of time to really recognize how you're feeling can make a big difference, because then we can really change the way, like if we've been stressed or we're ignoring how we're feeling, that just gives us that time to just change our perspective and really start to nurture ourselves a little bit and de-stress. Just a few deep relaxed breaths, maybe a bit of that exercise that I was showing, and that can be really helpful too on a daily basis.
So the people out there can find all that info in your book.
Yeah, well, they can also go to my website. So if you go to my website, dianeellis.com.au, and I've got a page there called Regaining Health under the Health tab, and that's got a list of all the different things that are really helpful. Yeah, so basically there's kidney and liver cleansing, which is fantastic, diet, so you're eating your whole foods, which is good, and then removing pathogens. You can get some simple herbal things from a health food store, or you could even do some of the chocolates from the pharmacy. Alkalizing the body, activating your body's own self-healing mechanisms. So that's, as I mentioned, the NRF2, the redox signaling molecules, and the GCMAF. I didn't mention about dental before either. It's really important to check if you've got any hidden infections in your teeth under crowns or root canals. I even just had a filling, just a normal filling that went bad, and that had a really profound effect on my health. When I got that tooth removed, I improved dramatically. And there's also biochemistry we haven't mentioned, that if you go and have a look at Dr. William Walsh here in Australia, it's there's a website called biobalance.org.au, and there are some really amazing doctors who are listed on that webpage, and they've done training with Dr. Walsh to be able to do blood testing, hair analysis, urine analysis, all these very thorough tests to see anything that might be out of balance in the body. And they use complementary medicine to bring balance back to the body to address all sorts of different disease and illness. And that's probably one of the most beneficial things you could ever do for your health, because you're getting the scientific results, the blood tests and all the other forms of analysis that you can do to see what's happening in the body and to correct it. Simple things like L-tryptophan and GABA, they're a couple of amino acids that can be really linked to depression and anxiety. And by taking them, it could really relieve. Also zinc, if we're low in zinc, that can be connected to depression. And so, yeah, that's... And then there's also the homeopathy that can be used for boosting the immune system to prevent any sorts of illness as well, such as the coronavirus. Like, I'm not saying it's going to be a treatment or a cure, but it will help to, all those things will help to really boost your immune system.
Nice. Well, that's a lot of information to take in.
There's a lot, and I know we've only sort of skimmed over all of those topics, and so I will, in the coming weeks and months, I will pick a topic and go into detail on each one of those topics. So, yes, there's certainly a lot to cover, and it's quite a comprehensive list of treatments and remedies and methods for healing in both of my books.
Nice. Thanks for your time, Di.
Thank you for joining me, Craig Bailey. Thanks for joining me for Quantum Health with Diane Ellis, reaching optimum health and happiness. I know I...